Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to this edition of The Cave Show. It is the 15th of November, Monday. It is good to be with you this afternoon. Been looking forward to it. Been really looking forward to it. There is so much stuff to get into today. First off, I have my man, my BFF, calling in. Today, the one, the only, Michael Caratino will be calling in about 12, 13 minutes or so. The league is a lot different than it was last week, obviously, the NFL. Some teams that were supposed to win won, but some teams that weren't supposed to win, they won too. We'll talk about those teams and what they're doing. Aaron Rodgers, the misty-eyed one. I think that should be his new nickname, the misty-eyed Aaron Rodgers. He said he was emotional. We'll talk about that as well right here on The Cave Show. And the Suns are hot, the hottest team in the NBA. And ASU pulled out a game. And you know, if we're going to have Mike Caratino on, we're definitely going to mention something about the ASU football team. It would not be right if we didn't. So that's definitely on tap as well. Like I said, everyone, thank you for joining today. This is The Cave Show with PLR. We are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. That is located at 4991 South Alms School. Locally, that's Alms School in Chandler Heights. Get down there, check them out. Let them know the PLR sent you. They'll take 10% off of your cigar purchase. You can also become a club member, get your access to the members' lounge, get a locker, backup to a humidor, and a whole bunch of other amenities. If you don't become a member, no issue, still a great place to come, sit down, relax, enjoy your steak. Tons of TVs everywhere to watch. They serve beer and wine, so you can get that in while you're enjoying your steak from the humidor, which is probably the best humidor in the valley. Definitely check it out. Great selection, great prices. And then you get 10% off just by saying The Cave Show and PLR sent you down there. Now, if you can't make it down there, there's no worries there. Simply go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Early enough in the day, they will ship the exact same day. So go ahead and get your cigar on over at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Don't forget the 2nd of next month is Ladies' Night. So definitely get in and check it out, and I have more info about that as we get closer to that date. But all these things happen, like I said, at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. A lot of things happened yesterday in the National Football League. Some things, like I said, was good. Some things caught us by surprise. Some things were awesome. I will tell you, and I'm going to take calls here in a second, 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828 is the number to call in. If you have anything on your mind, definitely reach out to us. A lot of things happened yesterday. I'm going to take this call in a sec, but to me, this was one of the coolest things of the day. That was the voice of one Cam Newton, signed Friday with Carolina. Didn't think he would play much, to be honest with you. They put him in on a first goal line situation, scored a touchdown, put him in the second goal line situation, threw a touchdown. And that basically set the tone and led to the Cardinals getting their asses kicked last night. But I don't care who you root for. I really don't. But after all he's accomplished in his career, go back to the team that he started with, and then you get to here. Honestly, that was a cool moment. And then when he went to the sidelines, did his Superman pullback shirt. Really cool. Anyway, got callers. Want to get into that? 917-889-7828. Cave Show, PLR, thank you for holding.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Lou, my man, how are you?
All right. And they say he can't go home again. Well, can't even prove that wrong.
He really did. He really did. He set the tone for that game. There was no way Carolina was going to lose that game after those two touchdowns. That was – they could have ended it there, saved everybody today. Colt McCoy would still have his shoulder if they did.
Of course, you know, they need it because, you know, without Sammy Boy, you know, you really got to do – we aren't going to do much. You know, he hasn't really proven to be, you know, the star quarterback for Carolina either. But, you know, Newton saved the day. I mean, his numbers weren't impressive by his standards, but he came through in the team when they needed it.
Sam Darnold is terrible.
I could tell myself.
He's just terrible. He's been given, more. Here's what I find funny, right? And I'll be 100% honest with this. I find it funny that Sam Darnold sucked for a year, not like 30 years, but for 2-3 years he sucked in New York. And we kept hearing, he had some promise. He's shown some things. He has a little bit of promise here. He has a little bit of promise there, right? Keep hearing that. You get Jameis Winston, who's down in Tampa, who's had a couple different coaches. Threw 30 interceptions, but he also threw for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. And he has to go and sit for a year before he has an opportunity to prove himself again. But we just load up Sam Darnold and say, oh, he'll be fine. He'll be fine down there. Now, I have no issue. I would trade Jameis Winston, too, if I had Tom Brady coming. But I just think it's funny how we tell – and say what Marcus Mariota. He's in Vegas having to work for his second chance. Sam Darnold just got a second chance given to him.
Yeah, he did.
And now we can say, oh, he's not that good. He should have been able to say that long for a long time.
Exactly.
Not that good. But, yeah, just find that real interesting.
He was never that good. That's why we dumped him.
So what else you have on your mind today, my friend?
And, of course, Rodgers coming back. Well, congratulations. You know, we knew it wasn't going to be out that long, but, you know, and yet he got caught up in all the emotion and everything. Well, I think I can understand that. Even though he never should have went through the first one, so he lied. So, I mean, he broke this out himself, though.
Did you buy that whole his emotional grab?
Not really.
Okay, I'm just checking. I think Aaron Rodgers, you know how people always say Aaron Rodgers always likes to think he's the smartest man in the room?
Right.
Well, sometimes I think he really truly is. Because how did all this start? It started with a lie. And as opposed to coming out and saying, I misled people, or you know what, I tried to get my inoculation different, I should never have said I was immunized. And look, I'll serve the suspension. I'll move on. Instead of saying that, or not suspension, but stay in protocol, and I should have been in protocol, and move on. He went on and he used those words, and we know those words, and it's not even a dog whistle word. It's just the words that get everyone behind you. He said, "Woke mob and cancel." You say woke mob and cancel. People at certain news networks that may or may not have ever watched you, that's their bad signal. Now, the bad signal's up. Bad signal is up,
and he can throw out woke and whatever. Then he comes back the very next week, and he says, you know what? I'm an athlete, not an activist. I just want to play football. Now, that gets the people that are like, hey, Aaron, you know, yada, yada, whatever, kind of softens them up. Now he comes out and he goes, I was really emotional after leaving the field after this long week. Bro, you were not. You were a liar. And here's the thing. I don't think you should be canceled. Here's what's so funny. I don't think you should be canceled. I don't. I'm not part of that canceling. He had a choice. He didn't have to get vaccinated. Look, there's a protocol for it. He didn't have to get vaccinated. Yes. All I'm saying is, live in the same rules everybody else lived in. That's all I'm saying. If those are the rules, whether you like the rules or not, we all went to high school. We all went to college. We all know there are certain rules you have to abide by. If you're in high school and the bell rings and they say you have 30 seconds to clear the floor, you can't say, well, you know what? I like all the rules except that one. I'm just not going to do that one. I planned on doing it. My intention at the time was to do it, even though I didn't believe in it. No, get your butt in the class. Shut up.
The rule of the hell is saying good intentions.
The rule is the rule. So,
and the road to hell has been with good intentions too.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. I don't care if he does commercials. I don't think his money should be taken. I don't think any of that stuff. I think he lied to keep the heat off, where we all know how the media circle works. If you just say something, if they burn you for a week, and then they forget it and move to the next story. And it may not even be for a week. It could be for a day, depending what else, what other news cycle hits. So.
Right.
Dude, take it early, be done with it. And now I think everyone is done with it now. No one's going to say anything about him and anything else, but he sure did get to go for the sympathy. You know, and listen, I like the way he plays. Listen, after watching Jordan Love, I don't want to see Jordan Love instead of Aaron Rodgers. I'm not even a Packers fan, but that was painful.
Yeah.
So I just find it funny that, you know, everyone is like, oh, they want to catch. Nobody wants to catch him. Shut the hell up. Let's catch Aaron Rodgers. No. But, yeah, man, misty-eyed. You don't get misty-eyed when you call the show, do you, Lou? You don't get emotional, do you?
No. Not really.
Okay, well. All right, just checking. If you get emotional, it's
not over that. Not over that.
Yeah, we're still friends, so if you're emotional, I'm good with it.
Yeah. I don't get emotional for things like that.
All right, my friend. It is always, always good catching up with you.
All right, thanks, Walt.
All right, buddy. We'll talk
again.
To you.
Right.
All righty, my man Lou. Always good to catch up with him. Listen, we're gonna take a break real quick. We're back in 40 seconds. We are laboring to get the one only Mike Caratino on with us very shortly. Like I said, we're back in 30 seconds. It's K-Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on the Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend, and I said, hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thanks for hanging with us this Monday afternoon. Listen to us live, checking us out. I appreciate it. If you do miss a live episode, though, of the Cave Show, simply go to KSRN at 3 o'clock, download the Apple App Store, download from the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. Our replay is at 3. You also can check us out on iHeartRadio and Spotify. Download, check it out, set the alert. That way when the new episode of The Cave Show is brought to you by The Sports Cave,
All With The K comes up, go right to it and check out the show. Also, remember, like I said, if you're listening live, the easiest way to catch us live is just go to the website, sportscave.com, where Cave is with the K, and hit that listen live button, and there we are. Yeah, like I said, I find it so funny. I'm like, yeah, I was all emotional after leaving the field. I got real emotional. Emotional for what, bro? What are you emotional about? Because I guarantee you, no one's buying it. Just go play some football. Just go play football, bro. This is done. Honestly, the whole Aaron Rodgers thing is done. And as I was saying to some people yesterday, part of me doesn't even believe he should have been fined. The team should have been fined. The team is the one that allowed him to do what he did. The team could have said, you know what the protocols are. This is what you need to do when you're in these areas. This is what you need to do since you're not completely vaccinated. It's up to him. I mean, it's up to them to say, no, you can't go out there. But they didn't want to rock that boat. So I find them at fault. It's like having a kid. What, are you going to punish your kid because you sat there and you gave him 17 scoops of ice cream? You're going to punish your kid for eating it? No, you're the one that gave it to him. That's what I find funny about this whole thing. That's what I find funny about this whole thing. Aaron is Aaron. We know that. We know that 100%. Team is the one that was liable. I got my man coming up here in like 5 seconds. I'm going to ask him if he gets emotional when, after he signs off the show, you know, whenever he's on, he's, you know, a guest and he has the, you know, the reputation that he has of being a great sportscaster in the not just the Phoenix area, but everywhere. I wonder if when he leaves the Cave Show, if he gets emotional, hanging up the phone line. We'll find out. You know who it is. You know who it is. Look, I never said his name. Here's his introduction right here.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person.
He loves
me till the end.
My dude, sports personality, man himself. Mike Caratenuto, Mike. What's up, buddy? How are you?
And of course I get emotional, man. You get me all fired up trying to push my buttons like you always do. But I know how to get even. I just gotta send you a nice juicy hot dog with a little bit of ketchup on it. And then the forces of evil are balanced out.
You do know that's illegal in 49 out of 50 states, right?
Oh, I think you're exaggerating there, but according to you it is. If people do it around you, they might lose a hand.
Yeah, the only state that allows you to put ketchup on a hot dog is Rhode Island, and that's why it's the smallest state.
Oh, wow. I didn't expect that one. That was good.
All right, so let me jump into it. And the Cardinals are having a great year. I don't put anything on that game. I think football, we have the opportunity with football to overreact every single week. A team can be, you know, 10-0, they lose a game. Oh, well, they've been figured out. No, they lost a game. The Dallas Cowboys get housed last week by Denver. Oh, maybe Dallas isn't as good as we thought. Then they come out and you know, kick ass this week. The same thing. The Buccaneers, oh, Tom after a bye week can't be beaten. And he goes and gets his ass kicked. Things happen. To me, unless you go undefeated, there's going to be 3 weeks where you just didn't play your best or someone played better. But be that, I'm going to use my New York here, be that as it may, even as I'm hoping the Cardinals win yesterday, I can't lie to you, something felt good about Campbell, everyone punted to the curb. Those first two drives, he doesn't know the playbook, but he doesn't have to know the playbook. to give the ball to Cam Newton at the 3-yard line. I don't think, Mike, honestly, when he threw that touchdown pass, I saw the look on that Carolina bench, and they panned over, and I saw the look on the Cardinal bench, and I said, honestly, this game is over. Carolina is jacked. And they never came down off of that. And then, obviously, a lot of stuff went wrong with Colt's shoulder, and they were down a bunch of players. But after those two touchdowns, I don't know if you felt the same way, but I was like, this game is over. There's no way to get over this surge of momentum by Carolina.
I was definitely leaning the way you were. I mean, I was probably like 95% on your 100% train for they're in trouble. Paul, but listen, looking at it, I mean, look, and you said it. I mean, no one's going undefeated in this day and age. And the same thing when they lost to Green Bay. Everybody thought, oh, they've been figured out. A.J. Green turns around. This happens to be their first loss, you know. It's where, yeah, week after week, and like I said before on the show, we're talking about it. Mike Tyson's old, old saying, which is so true, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Then what's your plan? So, like, the Cardinals got punched, and Cam Newton, we know he injects energy wherever he's at. Whether people love him or hate him, I've never heard a teammate say that they didn't love him and what he does in the locker room. And, yeah, not knowing Matt Rule's playbook, but you're right. You don't have to know much to fake the ball to McCaffrey, who everybody has their eyes on, and go across the goal line. So, and then, look, they turn it over twice. It's a bad start to a game. It snowballed. You could hear the they're going to be obviously frustrated, the Cardinals, but Cliff Kingsbury, in his post game, you can just hear the frustration. And he's like, we need to go back to his coaches and look. And it's one of those things where, side note too, where you say overreaction, Cliff Kingsbury coming into it, the year now people, I see some things on Twitter like, oh, how can he be the coach of the year? It's one game. And that's the problem. Like you said, that's the problem. Everybody wants to overreact. You're 8-2. You're on top of your division. Puke this one out, digest it, puke it out, get on to Seattle. But, those first two drives, it couldn't start any worse. I mean, that's why I say I was 95% ball, because the bad news is for Cardinals fans, as they obviously saw, you're down 14-0. The good news is you have 3.5 quarters to make that up. But for 3.5 quarters, your train took off, and it was one of those lightning trains that they have in Europe that don't make that only make
bullet,
like, two stops.
Man.
You get places
bullet
faster.
Bullet train. Bullet train, bro.
Right.
Bullet.
The bullet train. Yeah.
Lightning.
Sorry. Lightning, bullet, rocket, whatever. They're moving fast. Press up on your hot dog one day, buddy. I'm going to do it. This guy.
I'm like, come on. Haven't you been to Europe, man? It's a bullet train. You said lightning.
Take
come on, Mike. You
didn't take them though, because I took the trains. I didn't take the longer one, the bullet trains, because we were enjoying it, but I didn't hop on. We didn't want to spend all our time on trains, but that's a side note. But yeah, no, last season after Cardinals.
Wait, what'd you take?
It's one of those.
What'd you take? A helicopter? Big baller like you on helicopters, or did you just took your private jet where you want to go?
I took the commoner train. I can't get on the train you get on, because I'm not big time. So I took the commoner train, and me and the rest of the commoners had a great time. Because I called it the lightning train, and they're like, oh, sorry, you got to go to the back of the line.
But back to what we were saying, like I said, Cardinals, I think it's an overreaction, but Mike, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I honestly felt good for Cam. I really did. And it could have been the Cardinals, could have been the Bears, could have been it could have been anybody. I just think there's certain guys, and I don't want to say deserve a second chance or a third chance, but he was out of the NFL not because of what he didn't do, but because teams felt like his personality was so big, he couldn't be a backup. And you know what I know. There are some backups in this league that you just shake your head and say, how the hell are they in the league? So to see him just get back, especially with Carolina, it just gave me a really good feeling. Like, I honestly felt that was a feel-good story. And I'm not really a feel-good story kind of guy, but that one I thought was.
Oh, no, you don't have to tell. We know that. Believe me, your friends know that. No, all kidding aside. No, but all kidding aside. No, for Cam, look, it is one of those things, and I think it Mac Jones, look, in New England is having a good year. They trust, you know, Mac Jones. Can New England get to the playoffs? Yes. Is a rookie quarterback winning the Super Bowl? No. I don't care who the coach is. It's not happening. The playoffs and the games obviously shorten up a little bit. But for Cam Newton, I thought this, you know, a full off season with the Patriots. And then, yeah, the COVID thing comes down. He misses camp those few days. Did that sway Belichick? Belichick doesn't make knee-jerk decisions. You know that. I know that. Everybody that covers football knows that. So I was surprised because I thought Cam would have had even a bigger year in New England because the whole offseason with Josh McDaniels, the whole offseason with the playbook and working with guys and, you know, and it didn't work out. But, yeah, you said it perfectly. He was off the field for something that, you know, people didn't think he could play. But it was also one of those things where he didn't get into any trouble. And I know personality-wise, ever since the Denver Super Bowl, a lot of people were saying, oh, what a poor loser and this and that. He can celebrate. You and I have talked about this a million times. I don't need to hear from anyone on the losing team. Like, you can ask me 10 different questions, and I can answer those 10 different questions all in the same way after losing. Like, I get it's under their contract, and now it's obligated, but it was never like that before, and some things don't need to change. But people get rubbed wrong. But, yeah, how can you not want a guy in your locker room that's going to inject personality, that's going to kind of get you invigorated? And then you also get the beast in Christian McCaffrey back. And, you know, not a lot. But McCaffrey obviously helps him. But the way Matt Rhule also, and they talked about it yesterday in the broadcast a lot, but just how they're easing McCaffrey back in. Yes, he got his touches. Yes, he was on the field. But there were times where, you know, you'd expect him to be on the field yesterday, and he wasn't on the field. So, again, they're going to bring him back along. And, yeah, I mean, Carolina can be very dangerous. But, I mean, I have no reason not to be happy for Cam, except the only time I never liked him is when of course he won beat Oregon in State Farm Stadium, because that really that one got me, Paul. I got to say no, but look, good for him. And you know, I hope it works out. The one thing you and I both know is, yes, he can play quarterback at a high level. Yes, he has. And the one thing that has stuck with him, and it did pop its head out a few times last year. I know he was in and out because of COVID protocols last year, and even throughout his career, but he became a lot more accurate with North Turner. It's just the accuracy. And like I was saying, in the playoffs, when the games get shortened, windows also get a little bit tighter passing. That's been the one fair knock on Cam. But all this other stuff, personality, like you said, personality, a guy that has passion for the game, and, you know, oh, he can't play. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not a scout, you're not a scout, but when we always hear about this eye test, when I look at it, the boy can play football. So, I mean, I'm with you. I'm happy that he came back. Cardinals fans, I know, probably not as happy that they got the win as convincingly as they did. But I think it was kind of a good wake-up call for the Cardinals' defensive line. D-line, when I say that, not that they've played bad. I don't need Cardinals fans hating at me on Twitter. But it's just kind of a wake-up call, you know, halfway through the season now. And some new things are getting thrown at them. I know the inside linebacker standpoint has been a thing, and no J.J. Watt on the field, but he's still around the team, which is huge. But it's a good wake-up call right before Seattle, because I'm just going to say, I think they could go up to Seattle and they put a beat down on the Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Seahawks are really not a good football team right now, if we're just being 100% honest. And I will say this, I have a segment that I'm starting called PLR Was Dead Wrong, and I honestly said I thought Cam was done in the league, and I'm glad that I was dead wrong. On the Cam Show of PLR, the one and only.
We all know you're Mr. Mike Feel Good, but you thought he was done?
I'm in the middle of giving the re-plug with you, and I'm trying to plug your name, and you cut me off while I'm plugging your name. Can you want me to finish plugging your name first? This is what I'm talking about. These are people that put ketchup on hot dogs. You're in the middle of the replug. Now let's finish replug. So I'm about to finish the replug. Online, on the Cave Show, the one and only and super personality, radio personality, sports personality, Mike Caratino. Yes. Now, see, I had to give you the assist. I had to throw a ball. You're ready to go one-on-one already. See what I'm saying? This is why I get emotional. I think I lost him. I think I lost my BFF. See what happens? He jumped in. I'm trying to give him his proper plug. Trying to. I hope he calls right back. But, yeah, I did. I said it, and believe me, I got the text messages. Believe me. And I got the DMs. I know I said Cam was done. I know I was dead wrong. I get it. I got it. I get it. I got it. Hold on. Here he is back. Yes, sir. Got you back.
I never lost you.
Oh, your screen went off and the call disappeared. But I got the read in, so here we go. The one and only, Mike Caratino. Cam, I'm trying to get my read in for you. But, yes, I said Cam was done. I was dead wrong. Here's why I didn't think, Mike, here's why I didn't think he was coming back. And I'll be honest with you. His accuracy, like you said just a couple minutes ago, has always been a little bit of an issue. And then you have that personality. And so now you got to convince someone that they won't be screaming. And you know who the most popular guy in the world is. It's the backup quarterback. So what situation can he go to where he's not going to overshadow the guy there? And then you start thinking, well, there's Tampa. Well, he's definitely not going there. And then there's Green Bay. Well, he's definitely not going there. And then you have here. He's definitely not coming here under Kingsbury because he's not accurate enough. The one thing Kyler is 100% accurate. He's not going to Seattle because we saw what happened when Russ had a chance to get a good backup. And Colin, Seattle didn't want that noise for the backup. So you got four guys that can handle it, but that's not where he's going. So now you got to get into schemes and systems. There's not that many left out there. And that's why I thought he was done. Not washed up done, situation done.
Again, that was a very – obviously, a lot of us, a lot of people, you know, covering the game, watching the game, you know, you kind of form that opinion when it comes to it. But me personally, I don't subscribe to that because I see why people say it, like, oh, he can't be a bigger star. I know it goes back to, like, you know, the circus allegedly that Tebow would have brought. But – it's one of those things where when I look at it, like, you need to back up, coaches be able to handle it. And that's why I'm surprised. I mean, but I think the other side of that, Paul, I think you're onto something that people didn't think you wanted to be a backup because, yes, he does have a big personality. And with the Patriots releasing him, you know, why not stay and be the backup there? But again, maybe Belichick didn't feel it was right for his locker room. And not saying that Cam couldn't handle it or Cam would have been bad for the locker room. I don't think that either. But I think with Belichick releasing him, that kind of put a lot of people's ears kind of up and were like, well, if he can't be a backup there, why would he want to come here and be a backup?
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. But like I said, put a ball on this one. I thought it was great. That first set was great. And I got to do it before we move on to the next topic. Now, with that, moving on to the next topic. Overreaction. Everyone calls it Overreaction Monday. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to say who's the best, who's the worst. There are certain things that come out. And the one thing I'm going to say to you, Mike, I think really bugs me more than anything. We take these five young men that just got drafted into the NFL. And we start saying who's good, who's bad, who should have been taken where, who should have gone who should have done what. You know, now we look at Mac Jones. Why wasn't he the number one person taken overall? Every time Lawrence played against Fields looked better. Why didn't he go? I think all that is conjecture and utter BS. The reason why Mac Jones works in New England is because of the coach that they have. He can run a defense that will allow a young quarterback to grow. I don't know, Mike. Maybe we've seen him do that before. The reason why Urban Meyer came back to coaching was for one reason. It wasn't a trade to pick. and have Garshow Minshew or Minshew Garshow or Minshew, whatever his
Gardner
name is.
Gardner Minshew. Hey, you be nice to
him. It wasn't – he didn't come to coach to have him as your number – to play quarterback. The Bears went out and got the guy they wanted. San Fran traded up. Look, they didn't draft Trey Lance because they thought Garoppolo was dirt. They drafted Trey Lance because Garoppolo's availability never meets his ability. And so I always find it funny that we start pooping on these young quarterbacks so early when almost 90% of it is coaching and developing. That's the one thing that Mac is getting. So when I look at that, that's some frustration for me. What about you when it comes to young quarterbacks? What's your expectation? Do you think they got it in the right order, the way that they were drafted?
What Kurt Warner says, because somebody was on Twitter a while back, I'll start it like this, saying, oh, so-and-so's a system quarterback, and this system, or he's just a system quarterback, these players. And Kurt Warner responded, NFL Hall of Fame quarterback, who I think knows a lot more than those of us that never played the position in the NFL, said every quarterback's a system quarterback because, Paul, if you're drafting me as a quarterback, you're looking at my traits, and I'm going to fit into what you want to do. You're not changing everything because of something I do. I can do things, like you said, whether it's putting, you know, certain passes in certain areas, working with certain receivers. Every quarterback, by the way, is a system quarterback. So I get tired of that phrase. The answer to your question about did they get it right, sure, these coaches got who they thought could run their offenses. And, yeah, I mean, the Niners were linked to Mac Jones because they said they traded up and, you know, Kyle Shanahan really loved him, and then the more they started talking to both, not that Mac Jones obviously was a bad guy, but just what Trey Lance offered and everything, they went with Trey Lance, and the jury saw. Yeah, I'm 100% with you because I say to people, I get it. A lot of people talking in our positions that, like I said, didn't play in the NFL, never lined up against somebody else, never tried to read a defense, call an audible, whatever. Yes, they have their sources. Yes, they might talk to scouts, but isn't the one thing we always hear about the draft, especially a number one pick or a quarterback or the draft in general, is that it is an imperfect science, Paul. So therefore, scouts don't get it right. Coaches don't always get it right. Some guys don't respond. Some guys can't take, you know, the negativity of, you know, whatever. And I'm not saying they're mental midgets or anything like that. I'm just saying everybody responds differently to their situation. So, yeah, I think to this point, from Trey Lance, I know he played that one game here while he came in relief of Garoppolo, like you said, for getting hurt, and then came down here the next week, and Cardinals beat him 17-10, didn't play a bad game, but again, it was his first game starting, and, you know, it's jury's still out. Athletically, I mean, can this kid make all the throws? 100%. I've seen it. But at the same time, like, It does take time, and you're right. With Belichick's doing with Mac Jones, when you have a defense like that that can do things except, you know, not hold the Cowboys in overtime. Sorry, side note there. Can't stand the Patriots, as you know, my friend. But anyway, I mean, for Mac Jones, yeah, when you have a defense like that, but he, you know, you can take chances, but he's not turning the ball over. And, yes, there are some limitations to what he, you know, can do as we get closer. You know, they're playing more division games. He's going to get stuff thrown at him he hasn't seen. And how will he react? How, you know, the defense is going to have to keep them in it. So, again, we'll see. But to that point, so far, yes, the picks have worked out for the teams as we want them to. I mean, like I said, we still need to learn more about Trey Lance. But from what I saw on college ground, I know he only played one game his senior year because of with COVID and the pandemic and everything. But from what I saw from this kid, and I mean, just even in the preseason, and yeah, that, you know, he needs to get on the same page with receivers. But man, I tell you what, it's these young quarterbacks, again, they're coming in more ready to play. Because I will say to you, lastly, I always subscribe to what the Titans, even though Jeff Fisher, you know, his famous record is, you know, his birthday should be July 9th because he was always 7-9, but he sat Steve McNair for a year. Marvin Lewis, they took Carson Palmer, and Marvin Lewis did not hesitate, Paul, and said, Carson Palmer sitting for the whole first year. Like, he's going to learn. And John Kitna was there, and they were decent. And Carson Palmer, you know, and everybody says, oh, is USC ever going to have a quarterback? They just always seem to glaze over Carson Palmer because Palmer definitely had a long career, a very good career, But he sat his rookie year. So, yeah, it is, to me, I have no problem with drafting high. And I know people say, oh, well, you're getting pressure. You draft this guy, they got to play. Well, if they're not ready, they're ready to be in the NFL. Again, a preseason sitting behind somebody. I know Patrick Mahomes, lastly, has had his struggles this year. And, you know, it's been documented this and that. Last night, he throws for 5 touchdowns. But what did he do his first year before he won MVP? He sat behind Alex Smith. And you and I have talked about that, sitting behind Alex Smith. Obviously, a very, very great quarterback, just to learn the mental side of the game from Alex Smith. Didn't turn the ball over, didn't make mistakes, and was a very, very good quarterback. So he sat for a year. Andy Reid knew what he had raw talent-wise, but he's like, no, you're going to sit for a year. And Kansas City went to the playoffs. Mahomes started that game in Week 17. And then the next year, Mahomes wins MVP. The year after that, he wins the Super Bowl. So, yeah, it can be done both ways. But I err on the side of, I don't care if I draft him high. He's going to sit and learn. I want him to step in and be as, I mean, I don't know if you're ever fully ready, but as close to fully ready as possible.
I just think every situation is different. And because every situation is different, and I hate to use this phrase, but in Kansas City, they almost had a luxury because you had Alex Smith and you had someone that could get you to the playoffs. He just could never get them that extra step. Same with Alex Smith in San Francisco. They went to cap because as good as Smith was, he didn't lose your games, but he didn't win your games. And so that's why I think everything is different. When you draft now, the way the salary cap is, that quarterback has to be ready to play within that first year because the time is ticking before you got to pay them if they're good, or the time is ticking when you got to move on from them. Kind of like here in Arizona. If they hadn't played Rosen, they wouldn't have known it was time to move on, and they would have ended up with Kyler Murray. So I think there are times you got to do it. Chicago had been without a quarterback since Sid Luckman. They were not going to sit there.
What about Jim McMahon?
Since Sid Luckman. And so because of that, the city, sometimes your city dictates things too. You can't sit on your future in Chicago while the Red Rocket is out there not winning games. So I think it's different. But I will say this. I agree with you. Too much is tied to it for a young kid. There's only been one rookie quarterback go to a Super Bowl and win. I believe it was Ben Roethlisberger. It just doesn't happen. Now, switching things up, so I want to get your opinion on this because time is about to hit us in the face. And as we go to this, a parting shot on this real quick with the one only Mike Caratino. I told everyone a couple weeks ago, you can go to sleep on Kansas City if you want to. I'm not. And as I woke up this morning, there's a team in first place in their division. Let me see. Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert's playing better than him. Oh, this guy's playing better than him. I don't know if he's going to figure it out because he's a gunslinger. Looks like dude was figuring it out just fine. But I'll get off of that. I'll save that soapbox for another day because you can have Justin Herbert all you want. I'm taking that alien in Kansas City. But in saying that, I want to jump sports all together because I got to save 4 minutes for ASU football. The Suns, another team, and I don't know if you were on the day I said it, but when the Suns started out 1-2 and the panic birds came out and everyone was squeezing their panties and everyone was worried, I said, don't worry about this team. They'll be fine. They just got to mentally flip that switch that says, we're not the hunter, we're the hunted. And once they do that, they'll be fine. Last I checked, which was about, I don't know, this morning and 5 seconds ago, they won 8 in a row and have the second best record in the NBA. What has impressed you about this team so far this year?
Monty's talk about their commitment to defense. I mean, I know everybody talks, you know, they got to be committed in defense, got to get spot stops here and there, but just actually playing defense for mostly the whole game has been impressive to me, A. And the other thing is, and look, I'm saying this, not saying they don't need him, But the fact that they've won, what, 6-7 in a row now without DeAndre Ayton? 6-0 without Ayton? Like, no. They need Ayton. Listen to me. The fact that they're able to win without him when he gets back, it's even better. So hear me. Don't yell at me. I want Ayton. I'm saying what you asked me, what did I learn? It's impressive that they're committed to the defense. They're getting positive, obviously, minutes from their bench. And the fact that they're 6-0 without Ayton makes me think when he comes back, they're going to have a deeper, better rotation. If you'd let me finish and quit picking on me, they have a deeper and better rotation. They have a deeper and better rotation. And then you get Ayton back. Chris Paul. I mean, you can, you know, again, Paul wants to play, but you can, you know, kind of coast with him, make sure he's got the energy for the playoffs. But here's my thing, Paul. Here's the one thing. This is what I get sick and tired of in the NBA. People say, "Oh, everybody shortens up their benches in the playoffs." If you play that many guys in the regular season, give some of those guys the minutes. Like, that's the one thing I hope Monty learns. Like, and I love Monty as a coach. And you know that you and I have had this conversation. He is again his road that he took to get here. Again, maybe when he was younger, wasn't fully ready to be a head coach, but. I love Monty Williams. You've been around him more than I have, a little bit I have. Like, I just hope that this shows him that in the playoffs you can trust these guys. And I'm not saying you have to give them, you know, 15 minutes a game, but you can play them 8 to 9 minutes. You can give guys a little bit longer breathers and when you need your stars to perform. So, to me, it develops the bench. I love to see, again, you know me, I'm all about defense, even though, like you said, or like I always say, I don't think there's been true defense played in the NBA since like 1975. But hey, you know, who's counting? They do need Ayton. So don't have your son's army come after me again saying I'm the fool. I'm one of the fools who says, oh, they shouldn't sign Ayton. No, they need Ayton. But the fact that you're 6-0 without him, we see what guys have been working hard. I mean, Frank Kaminsky had the big game against Portland. I mean, JaVale McGee's been good off the bench for him. You've seen it. So, look, you need to stack more wins together in the regular season. So, yeah, towards the end, you can kind of peel back on guys' minutes and stuff. And I think Monty has the pulse of the team. I mean, him working with Chris Paul. So, look, I'm excited. And it also gives Ayton a chance to – if people say, oh, he's just saying he's hurt because he hasn't got signed. No. If you're hurt, you're hurt, and you can't play, you're going to hurt yourself, obviously, and you're going to hurt the team more because now you're not performing on the court. So it gives him a little bit of space to get, you know, as fully recovered as possible and then work back into the lineup. So Monty, again, he works the magic. It's awesome. And Chris Paul being here, you know, obviously opting out, re-signing, everybody's like, oh, you know how I feel about the HL. I'm not even going to start because then I'm going to go off on him. 5-minute mad tangent about people calling people in their 30s old. I don't care if they're playing sports, technology, training, diet, everything's changed since the 1950s. So anyway, that being said, but yeah, no, it's exciting for the Suns. It is. And if they keep this commitment to defense, just in general, I mean, what, in 2 games, Chris Paul has 12 or 13 steals?
Yeah, he's
and look,
ridiculous.
Competition, whatever. Competition or whatever, but 2 games, 12 or 13 steals. So, like,
no,
averaging
I'm,
at least 6 steals a game in the NBA, it's not high school. It's the NBA. Like, no offense to high school players, but you can average 6 steals a game in high school. You ain't doing that in the NBA often.
On the line with me, the one and only Mike Caratino. Mike, we've got 4 minutes before time gets to talk ASU callers. I see you calling in. Not going to get to you today. Sorry about that. We will try to get back with you later on this week in open call section. So, when it comes to the Suns, I'm with you 100%. So yeah, Mob, leave Mike alone. I was about to pre-jump him for no reason and throw the haymakers, and I didn't need to. So I guess there's another dead wrong for
Jimmy,
me.
Jimmy, well, you can't hear Jimmy.
This is what I'm saying.
Jimmy. You can't hear Jimmy.
Just
you don't hear Jimmy.
See, I just apologized, and it didn't work. So you know what? I'm gonna go back to my non. I'm going to give you the Brett Favre apology.
If I've
offended you, then I'm
sorry. The white man can't jump. I know you love white men. I know you love white men can't jump. I know you love Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes.
I know the movie very well.
ASU.
Very well.
On to ASU.
Okay. So I'm going to say some stuff that might make you smile. I see we're on our way to our usual 9 victories, which is usually what happens with ASU football in a quote-unquote good season. But I will say this. I love the fortitude that they showed up in Washington. That would have been a very easy game to tap out and say we're done. Do believe, however, that ASU, regardless of where they end up, they should have, and the kid and his name just escaped me, I was about to say it, their running back should be the offensive player of the year in the Pac-12. That kid is outstanding, and watching him run is a lot of fun.
Oh, Rashard White. You're talking about Rashard White.
Rashard White, yes. Yeah.
Rashard White. He is very good. And it's funny because at Herm Edwards' presser today and even last week, he kind of compared him a little bit, the way he runs, the way he can catch, to a guy you may have heard of in Marcus Allen. And he goes, because Herm Edwards says, I used to call Marcus Allen Cuddy because he gets to feel he cuts. So, but he – Rashard White, yeah, I mean, 63% of the offense the last 2 weeks he's accounted for. Last year, we all know it was a shortened season. You and I talked about it. In 4 games, he averaged 10 yards a carry. So, I mean, you knew the kid had explosiveness and just what he's meant. But the offensive line, I mean, they've suffered a little bit of injuries. Yes, we know the penalty struggles on the road a little bit. But look, this offensive line has done a hell of a job, and we talked about this in the beginning of the season. They're going to have to keep this up to do that. And Rashard White has benefited from it. I mean, the kid runs powerful, and yes, he is definitely, I would say, no pun intended, but the front runner for offensive player of the year with what's happened in the pack. If he does it again, if he keeps just the pace up next week up at Oregon State and Corvallis, and then it finishes out that – just destroys that team from down south again up here in Tempe, which, by the way, the kickoff time came out for that, Mr. Paul.
Yeah,
it's 2 p.m. on the 27th, 2 p.m. So for all you fans that don't want to be negative like Paul, understand it is hard to win a game in football in general at higher levels, and 9 wins is a very good season. Because Paul says he's not looking at his neighbors, but yet he's comparing winning 10 games to other teams winning 10 games, but he's not looking at his neighbors. See, that's how he's a smooth-talking guy, and you know that, sports fans. He gets you. He lulls you to sleep, and then he turns the curveball, so he gets to talk out of both sides. But when I do it, he crushes me with ketchup on my hot dog. But that being said, all kidding aside, they finish with 9 wins, head to a better bowl game. Look, it is huge. It's good for the program. And, yes, the injuries did take a toll on this season, but I'm not using it as an excuse because you know me, just like you, I get sick and tired. It is next man up. And under Herm Edwards, to your point, they could have put their heads in the sand. They don't quit. They do not quit for this man. You watch the body language his whole time here at ASU. You and I have talked about this, and we've seen it, Paul. They give up a score. They're down a score or two. They come off the field, no matter what unit it is, offense, defense, or special teams, and they have their heads up. There's no bad body language. They haven't quit under him. And again, I'll take 9 wins with the twinkle in my eyes, knowing that there probably could have been 10, maybe 11. But you know what? They're hard. Younger guys are developing. And yes, when you have a man like Rashard White, it is absolutely awesome. But all props to the offensive line, because they have done a hell of a job this year.
Mike, we have about a minute left. Bowl game do they go to? If they win 9, what bowl game do they go to? If they stay where they are or win 8? And we have about a minute.
I mean, 9, I would say probably the Holiday Bowl. I mean, maybe you get to go to San Diego, because that's a later bowl. I mean, anything later, it's well, like I said, there's a little bit of football to be played. So I would say, remember, the Holiday Bowl would be awesome. But again, we'll see what happens. A lot has to happen too. So I just kind of throw that out there because I know that's one that's kind of later in December. It wouldn't be Las Vegas. It wouldn't be the Sun Bowl in El Paso. It would be later, and the Holiday Bowl is later. Yeah. I'll let you say it, but you can say it, but I agree with you.
No, that's a shit bowl because no one wants to go to El Paso if it's later, earlier, midday, sundown, sun up. Nobody wants to go to El Paso. And if people in El Paso, I don't even think I have a listener in El Paso. If I do, then I'm not. You know what? I'll tell you exactly what I am because time is about to get us, but I'm going to tell you what I am. I am not sorry for saying El Paso, I don't want to go there ever again. I'm not. I'm not sorry. Vegas, I don't care what bowl it is.
I'm laughing because I agree.
Yeah, Vegas, I don't care when that bowl is. I'm down to go to Vegas. That's Vegas. So put me in. Listen, here's my take on El Paso.
Baby, I'm sorry.
I meant it. I do not want to ever go to El Paso again. I would live in San Diego. So, yeah, let's go with that Holiday Bowl all the way. Listen, my friend, tell everyone where they can catch up with you. Time is hitting us in the face real hard.
Diablo 00, believe in the Pac-12 basketball. And when my best friend lets me come hang out with him when I agree not to put ketchup on my hot dogs, right here on the Cave Show.
I can't believe we let that crap team stick around and hit a 75-footer to lose. God, I'm pissed off about that nonsense. And you know what? Can't stand the Gophers either. Let's go ASU basketball. Mike, my man, I appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for hanging out with me today.
See you soon.
All right, buddy. That's my guy there, the one and only Mike Caratino, that's my dude, 100%. Having him on is always, always fun. Listen, make sure you're checking us out every single day right here on The Cave Show with PLR. You get us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at The Sports Cave. Cave is with a K. The website, sportscave.com. Cave is with a K. Get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Remember, my Twitter is my Twitter. I don't always talk about sports. Check it out. I think it's a good follow anyway. Yes, that's shamelessly plugging myself. Anyway, until the next time, thanks for hanging with us. Tomorrow and Wednesday, note, Wednesday is definitely a best of show. Tuesday, it's a possibility. Have an assignment. Hopefully I can make it back in time. But no matter what, Thursday we are live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Until then, everyone, take care. Have a great day. Again, shout out to my man, Mike Caratino, for hanging out with us. Until next time, this is The Cave Show. The PLR, Temps, wrap this bad boy up.